All too often, temptations come our way in our lives, and we're defeated by them. The devil gets victory, and we yield to temptation. Someone said this about temptation: it's only a question, not an answer. Your response is the answer. I hear statements from time to time like this: "Preacher, I just can't stand up to it. The temptation is so strong." Wait a minute. Remember that when you're dealing with temptation, you're dealing with a sales pitch from Satan himself. And when you're dealing with a sales pitch, you can turn a sales pitch down. And temptation is a sales pitch by Satan. In Mark chapter 14, the passage that we're dealing with tonight and where we're starting, and keep your Bibles handy because we will look at a lot of scripture in the message tonight. But in Mark chapter 14, we're dealing with the setting of Gethsemane. And Christ is in that setting, and he is approaching the cross. In fact, the reality of it is setting in that he is going to face the cross. Certainly, he has known about that throughout his years and in his ministry. He has known that the cross has been coming. But as we read Mark chapter 14, and as he's in Gethsemane, it seems as though it registers or hits home that it's right around the corner. And Christ is bearing an exceeding sorrowful time, an exceeding sorrowful path in his life as he faces the reality of the cross. In fact, I believe that besides the cross, these hours in Gethsemane were the darkest hours of Christ's life. And while bearing that heavy load of facing the cross and his own burden, he is in tune with the fact that he knew that his disciples were on the threshold of some great temptation. In fact, he tells them in the garden to watch and they fall asleep. And he comes back and he tells them to watch again and they fall asleep again. And he comes back a third time and he says, "Watch and pray lest ye enter in to temptation." See, Peter would face the temptation to deny him. It was just around the corner. Others, like Thomas, would face the temptation of doubting him and doubting his resurrection. Still others would think that his death was final and that he was would be defeated. The disciples would face the temptation to flee Christ at the most critical hour of his life. Christ knew all that. That's why he gave the command to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." Turn over in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. I want you to see what Christ was going through personally in the garden. It was at this time that he was leaning on his disciples. Remember, he had 12 disciples, but three of them came into the garden with him, Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be very sorrowful, the Bible says in Matthew 26 and verse number 37, and very heavy. "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." This was a time in Christ's life where he was leaning on Peter and James and John, the inner circle of the disciples, for strength and encouragement. Yet they failed Christ in his time of need. Here the inner workings and conflict of Christ's soul is laid open before the entire world. In fact, the Bible says here that he was sorrowful even unto death, as to a point that his sorrow would cause him to die physically. That was the weight that Christ was facing in the garden. And in the midst of that burden that he was bearing that was so sorrowful and heavy, he looks to his disciples and he sees what's coming in their lives. And he says, "Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." He had descended into earth's lower parts from his heights of glory. He left heaven to come to earth to be born in a manger. That was a humble beginning. To live a life where he was not received of his own, according to John chapter 1. But now it couldn't get any lower than facing the cross itself. He had left the heights of heaven to go to the lowest point in his life. It was an hour of great stress. It was an hour of darkness. And in that time, the Bible says that he fell on his face. Look at verse 39 of Matthew chapter 26. "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He was facing a great struggle within. There was a side of him in his flesh that did not want to face the cross, and my friend, you wouldn't have wanted to either. There was a side of him that said, not my will. Lord, if it was my will, let this cup pass from me. Lord, this bitter taste of death that I'm going to partake of. Lord, if it be your will, if you could by any means let this cup pass from me, let it pass from me. But his divine nature realized that he was going to accomplish the Father's will. It was in his heart to accomplish the work and finish the work that the Father had sent him to do. He faced a tug of war in his own life, but he knew that the disciples were facing and would face great temptation in their lives as well. You know, temptation is a universal thing. It's not that some are tempted and some are not. The Bible says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Every man faces temptation. You say, preacher, I feel like I'm strong spiritually. I'm sorry, it doesn't keep you from facing temptation. Preacher, I live a separated life. I stay away from the things that would tempt me. Yeah, my friend, and I believe in a separated life, and I try to live one too, but it doesn't keep you from temptation. Temptation is a universal thing. Every person faces it. If you're taking notes tonight, temptation means to tempt or try with the goal of destruction. This is the aim of the tempter. The tempter seeks to draw you away from that which is right, from that which is good, from that which is pure and holy, from that which pleases God, and draw you away from that. That's what it says about temptation in James chapter 1. Every man is drawn away of his own lust. He's drawn away from his commitment and loyalty to Christ. I would urge you tonight to stay close to the right things. The greatest way to stay away from temptation is to stay loyal and true and committed to the right things. It's interesting in 1 John chapter 2 that they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. There's a reason people left the faith in 1 John, and that was their loyalty to Christ was not there. And so when there were allurements, when there were things that grabbed their attention, they went with that flow. And the Bible says they went out because they were not of us. The loyalty wasn't there. When Peter was confronted about being a follower of Christ, his loyalty and closeness to Christ was not there at that time. And as a result, he denied Christ. When the disciples in Matthew 26 and verse number 56, when they fled from Christ, after Christ was put under trial and they no longer wanted to be identified with him, they were fearful of their own lives and what the mob might do to them, and they fled from him. Their loyalty of Christ to Christ and their commitment to him was not there. My friend, that's one of the greatest problems when we face temptation. The reality of temptation is that it's universal. It's an oppressive reality. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Speaking tonight on triumph over temptation, Paul writes to this church at Thessalonica and he says this, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I can't wait any longer, Paul's saying, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. That is, the tempter has a design on their lives, is what Paul was saying. He's saying, I couldn't wait any longer to not hear anything from you. I had to send somebody your way so that I would know that if the tempter had tempted you and I had labored in vain. The tempter's after us. The tempter was after Christ in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3. It says, and when the tempter came to him, when the tempter came to him. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to sift, to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. When God was talking about sifting wheat, he was referring to a very violent action used to separate the grain from the stalk and the chaff. It meant literally to tear the wheat apart. That is Satan's design. That's the oppression of temptation. He seeks to tempt you and to tear you apart. That is the goal of the devil. And when the Lord spoke to Peter, he said, Peter, this is what Satan desires in your life. Sometimes I don't think we weigh, when a temptation comes our way, what's behind it, what the goal is behind it. And Satan's goal is to tear us apart, to sift us as wheat. He wants to rip your family apart. He wants to rip your testimony, your Christian testimony, apart. He wants to rip the church apart. That's his goal. He desires to have us that he may sift us as wheat. By the way, he did it with Eve. And he did it with David. And he did it with Lot. And he did it with Noah. And he did it with Judas. And he did it with Achan. And he did it with Ananias and Sapphira. And he did it with Eli and his family. And he'll do it to us, brethren. He's the tempter. We need to understand there's a reality. There's an oppressive reality that we are facing with the devil himself. And that is, he seeks to destroy and to tear us apart. The tempter finds you. You don't have to find him. I want you to get this principle under the reality of temptation tonight. You don't need to feed or encourage temptation in your life. And some are aiding Satan. And Satan doesn't need any help. He's got all his guns loaded. He doesn't need us aiding him in any way in temptation. Some are only helping to intensify the temptation that you are facing. The tempter knows how to find you. He has plenty in store for you without you helping him. Sometimes we do this through idleness. We have too much personal time. We have too much free time. We have too much time to think. And an idle mind is the devil's workshop. He loves to set up shop here. He loves to fill your mind with all kinds of thoughts that are alluring thoughts away from what you ought to think on. That's his goal. Some are weak in an area of a habit. And so you go and participate with an activity with somebody that has the same problem habit that you have, and you think that you're going to win over that temptation. And all you're doing is intensifying the temptation. You're putting yourself with someone else that has the same problem and saying, we'll get over it together. No, you won't. No, you won't. You're only aiding the devil in your temptation. You're only making provision for the flesh. You put yourself in situations that only accent temptation in your life. Attending a work party or going on a trip for work where you are put in the appearance of evil and you're only accenting temptation in your life. Going to a party where alcohol is present or being alone with another woman. Running with the wrong crowd. Listen, we have enough battles to fight with all of the, without adding anything else. There's enough temptation without us bringing any more our way. We do this with people that are influencing and thinking in the wrong direction. And it's in their language, and it's in their criticism of brethren, and it's in their negativity, and it's through their carnal lifestyle. And then we wonder why the intensity of temptation is stepping up in our lives. And I'm saying tonight, the devil will find you. You don't have to go and find him and help him. Some are aiding Satan in others' lives. You're being used as a tool of Satan to approve something in someone else's life that God doesn't approve. That's a very dangerous place to live. Satan doesn't need any of our help in that. Some are not savoring the things that be of God, and it is an offense. It is a stumbling block. It is a temptation to others. Where others begin to think, oh, I can be a Christian and do that too. I can be a Christian and live like that because they're watching an example of somebody that is not savoring the things of God. Brethren, we are important to one another. He speaks about this in Matthew 16 when Christ said to Peter, and he loved Peter. I believe that Peter was close to the heart of Christ. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Very, very important. Some are aiding the devil in temptation through anger in your life. And you're allowing yourself to feed on it. And you're giving place to the devil according to Ephesians chapter number 4. And you're opening up the gamut for Satan to attack you in all realms of your life. And the scripture says, neither give place to the devil. Listen to me tonight. The devil doesn't need your help.
We need to wise up on some things. We understand we cannot aid Satan in what he's trying to accomplish in our lives. You may be a man that's battling the covenant with your eyes, but you stay up late and watch TV by yourself and browse the internet with zero accountability and no safeguards built in, and all you're doing is setting yourself up for greater temptation. You're just setting yourself up for the battle to intensify all the greater. And Satan will find you. You don't have to find him. Some need to get a hold of that principle tonight and grab onto it. Temptation is designed to cause you as a Christian to fall and destroy your testimony. Satan has a number of temptations. They are customized to us individually. The command Christ gives to the disciples in the garden was a command that he would give to them, knowing that they would face temptation. And he's saying, listen, you have no idea what the evil one is plotting for you. And they didn't. They were exhausted. They had probably had a busy week leading up to the crucifixion, to the Last Supper that they had just had with Christ. They had no idea what the evil one was plotting. And Christ did. And as a result, Christ said, listen, listen to me. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. If you're not alert, if you're not on praying ground, you're going to enter into this thing and be destroyed. Your testimony is going to be ruined. Someone said, it's not your standing, but your kneeling that delivers you from the power of darkness. Ephesians 6 speaks of an evil day. And the evil day was right around the corner for the disciples. The evil day, Christ was facing the evil day in his life as he spoke in Matthew chapter 26 and Mark chapter number 14. I want you to get this tonight. Just because they were close to Christ and just because they were walking with Christ didn't mean that they were excused from temptation. Didn't mean that they were going to have automatic victory over temptation. These were the men that stood arm in arm with Christ. These were the ones that had gone with Christ through thick and thin for 3 years. These were the ones that saw the miracles of Christ. But now he says unto them, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Danger was around the corner. There was a chance that they would sink in temptation, or they would shine. It would be here before they knew it. You know, temptation is never a thing that the devil warned you about 2 days in advance and says, hey, I'm going to tempt you, and I'm going to tempt you this coming Friday at 3:00. I want you to know that. It never works that way. Temptation always catches us off guard. It always brings us to a point of decision that many times we're not prepared to face. We have it thought through ahead of time. It always causes us to do something on the moment. We have to reject it, or we go that path at the moment of that temptation. And Christ knew that about the disciples. And that's why he said, be built up spiritually. There's something coming in your path. Their spirit certainly was willing, according to the text. There is a side of them, spiritually speaking, that was willing to do right, wanted to do right, wanted to please the Savior. But he also knew that their flesh and my flesh and your flesh is weak. It's weak. Temptation is not only an oppressive reality, it's an ongoing reality. Luke chapter 4, verse number 2, speaks of Christ's temptation being 40 days tempted of the devil. Preacher, I've had a pretty good week in this area. I'm glad you're preaching this week. Yeah, you know what's going to happen? You're going to face more temptation next week. And the next week. And the next week. Because temptation is an ongoing reality in our lives. It was an ongoing reality in Christ's life. Every day we face uninvited, unanticipated, yet unavoidable decisions. These decisions present themselves suddenly and without any warning. They're quick, they're immediate, they're sudden. There's sometimes no time for counsel or advice or study. This is the nature of temptation. This is what happens. This is the reality of it. What have you been facing that's been sudden of late in your life? What has come across your path that you weren't expecting, but now you're confronted with a temptation in your life. That's the way temptation comes. That's the way it came to the disciples. For the businessman, it could be an offer to make a little cash under the table in an unethical way. And it's just a presentation on the side. It's just somebody that comes alongside and says, hey, here's an offer. For the wife, it could be a chance for her to give her two bits of juicy gossip over the phone as something comes up. And it just comes up. We didn't mean to talk about it, preacher. It just came up. Yeah, that's the way temptation works. It just comes up. For the student, it could be an opportunity to improve his grade while you look at a friend's quiz at school. I didn't mean to do it. My eyes just looked over and there it was. And I happened to look and I happened to take an answer off the sheet. Yeah, it's sudden, isn't it? It comes like that. For the husband, it could mean an urge to lose his temper and blow up over something little in the home. Boy, I wish I didn't do that. Yes, but it comes suddenly, doesn't it? One minute we are in a calm boat on a lake talking about fishing. And in the next minute, we have a stick of dynamite in our hands that we're ready to blow ourselves up over giving in to temptation. Look at Matthew chapter 26. These were the same disciples that were in the garden. These were the same disciples who left all and followed Christ when they were called. These were the same disciples that were used by Christ and developed by Christ and trained by Christ. But notice in verse number 55, the Bible says, in that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. And notice the last phrase of verse 56. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. In that same hour, the scripture says, in that hour came a decision, came a temptation at the feet of the disciples. Shall we stay with him? Shall we support him? Shall we encourage him? Shall we be with him in life's difficult time? Or shall we flee? And the Bible says the disciples fled. All of them forsook him and fled. They faced a temptation they were not prepared for. In that hour of temptation, they were spiritually weak, and they gave in. May I say tonight, every person under the sound of my voice is in spiritual warfare, and you're in it every day like I am as a believer. And it's ongoing, and it's oppressive. And we face fiery darts, and we face temptations, and we face wiles that are being thrown at us from every direction. He fires the fiery dart of the perfect storm for you to dwell in the dungeon of discouragement. Listen, he knows how to fire that fiery dart. He knows how to take a person there. He knows how to tempt them, to bring them to that point. He places the golden opportunities before you and I to get bitter and to get angry at God and at others. Oh, those golden opportunities seem to be on every corner today within the church. It seems like everybody has a right. Everybody has something that they could be bitter about. Yes, that's a tool and temptation of Satan. He places thoughts and reasons for you to give in to temptation of being divided against brethren. He gives you reason and opportunity to neglect commitments that you've made to him in tithing, in reading the Bible daily, in attending church faithfully, in being faithful to your mate, in seeking him first in your life. He gives all the reasons and the opportunities. He knows how to do that. He brings temptation right into your living room and mine. He sets up the lifestyle where you just detach yourself from your mate. He creates opportunities for hostility in your marriage. He creates walls, young people, between you and your parents, between you and your pastor. He sets it all up so that you'll fall. That's his goal. He sets up the perfect situation for you to give up purity in your life. He brings you to physical exhaustion and places physical maladies in your path that coincide with spiritual apathy so that your spiritual apathy can be covered by your physical problems. And then we get in our mind that it's all physical. He knows what he's doing. He's a master disguiser. Brother, I'm asking you tonight, are you alert to the tempter? Are you watchful? He's mastered his art. And he knows your weakness. You're in a wrestling match against the power of this world, the prince of the power of the air, against principalities, against rulers of darkness. That's what you and I are in warfare with tonight. Christ knew what he was up against. And so at the most intense time of the temptation in his life, he fell on his knees and prayed. When a person is tempted, Satan is in the convincing mode that a temporal path, a temporal practice, a temporal pleasure has no eternal effects on our life. He sells the lie that there are temporary delights without eternal dangers. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 that he deceiveth the whole world. Brethren, when you face temptation in your life, it's real. It's ongoing. It's oppressive. He's seeking to tear you apart into pieces. The good news tonight is that Christ entered temptation and escaped it triumphantly. Not only is there the reality of temptation, there's the remedy for temptation as I close the message. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, the Bible says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations." God knows how to do that. Preacher, you've kind of painted a picture that I'm almost defeated before I begin. You are in your flesh, and so am I. But the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Preacher, how do I get deliverance from the persistent temptations I am facing? Number one, you must know and have confidence that God knows how to deliver you out of it. God has a way for you to get out of it. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 18, the Bible says, "For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." The word succor means to run at a cry or a call for help. Christ faced intense temptation. We know that. He faced it in the garden. He faced it with Satan in Matthew chapter 4. And he got victory over it. And because of that, the Bible says he's able to succor those who face temptation. That means he's able to run to your aid when you call for help. He knows how to deliver you out of it. The same word is used in Mark chapter 9 where it says, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and saith with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." The man knew he was struggling with a temptation of unbelief that Christ could take care of his need. And he cried out to him and he said, "Lord, help thou my unbelief." And the succor came to his aid and helped him. He'll do the same for you. Just as one who has fought the battle of cancer is qualified to sympathize with one and wants to run and help the one who is just diagnosed with cancer, so it is with Christ. Having been on the side of temptation and conquered it, those that face temptation, he wants to run to and help conquer it in your life. One who has had some strong temptation to sin urged upon himself can sympathize and help those who are now tempted. Each temptation, I want you to get this, has a way of escape. According to the Scriptures, temptation has a way of escape. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Every temptation comes with a way of escape. You've got to have confidence in God's way, brethren. You've got to believe that God can deliver the godly out of temptation, and that every temptation comes with a way of escape. I want to give you three keys to triumphing over temptation, the ways of escape. Number one, triumph over temptation requires running. It requires running. The Bible says, flee also youthful lust. We cannot stay in the midst of temptation and say, boy, I'll just stay here and hopefully I'll make it through it. No, there are times when you face temptation that you have got to run. You have got to flee. You've got to get out of Dodge, so to speak. In Proverbs 4, it says, enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Run from it is what he's saying. Hey, there's a path that's tempting to you. Run from that path. Avoid it. Go around the other way. Don't go down that direction. Joseph was caught by his garment in Genesis chapter 39 and verse number 12. And he was in a very, very difficult and vulnerable place of temptation. Potiphar's wife said, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. He fled. I wonder if you're in a temptation and you're not fleeing. You're just kind of hanging around it. You're just kind of flirting with it. You have no problem going back to it ever so often. Brethren, you won't triumph that way. You'll triumph by fleeing, by running. That is one of the ways of escape that God gives us. He writes to Timothy, the young pastor, and he talks about the love of money, which is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Don't get close to that direction. Stay away from that love. Let God take care of all that. Don't follow after that. If you're facing the temptation of quitting, flee from it. Shut those thoughts down. Stop those thoughts in their tracks. Bring them to the point of captivity. If you're thinking, young people, listen to me, if you're thinking about forsaking the guide of your youth, that is, your parents have led a right way in your life. They have designed and led you down a right path. And you're thinking about forsaking that path. You need to run from those thoughts. You need to put a stake in those thoughts and say, no, I am not going to live there. I'm not going to entertain those thoughts anymore. I'm going to follow the path that my parents have carved out. Thank God for godly parents. Need that, young people. One of the characteristics in Proverbs of a foolish woman is she forsakes the guide of her youth. And there's a temptation to do that in your life because the other paths look greater and have more glitter to them, and seem to be more enjoyable, and seem to have more freedom. But listen to me tonight. If your parents have led you down a path of godliness, it's down the right path. Stay on it. Stop debating over which way you're going to go. Make a decision tonight to run from that. Triumph over temptation requires running. Secondly, it requires resistance. Turn to James chapter 4. It requires resistance. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Notice when we resist and submit, he will flee from you. Resistance must be accompanied with submission. There are some that are trying to work harder in this area of resisting temptation. You face a temptation, it's a repetitive temptation. It's a weight in your life. That means you've been down that road and you've given in to temptation in some area over and over and over again. And in your mind, you feel guilty over that temptation when it comes because you know you've given into it. And then you feel guilty for giving into it. And you go back and you say, I'm going to try harder. I got to try harder to get over this temptation. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. In your hour, in your minute of temptation, what you should do is stop and resubmit yourself to God. You should stop and look to the Savior and say, Lord, in this time of temptation, I am facing great temptation in my life right now. But Lord, I want you to know that I am submitting myself afresh to your will. And Lord, I'm asking that you'll give me strength to resist the devil and that you will fulfill your promise that he will flee from me. Many times we're trying to resist in the flesh, and brethren, we're falling flat on our face when we do. And all we're doing is trying to strengthen the flesh to fight the battle of the Spirit. And God says there ought to be a submission that accompanies resistance of temptation in our lives. If you're not submitting, you're missing a very important step in James chapter 4, verse 7. There must be submission to God. It must accompany resistance. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, it says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." You know, brethren, our resistance is comparatively weak to what our Savior resisted. That's why the writer of Hebrews wrote to the believers and said, lest you get wearied in your mind and think, man, I don't think I can take any more onslaught of sin and temptation. I don't know that I can keep putting the resistance up. It is such a big attack on my life. I am facing such strong temptation in my life. He says, consider Christ, the one who endured contradiction of sinners. Remember Christ in the Gospels? People were trying to catch him. People were trying to bring him to sin. The Pharisees and the Sadducees would ask questions to try to get him to stumble and to sin. He says, listen, consider Christ, what he went through. Consider what he went through and how he resisted. You've not yet resisted unto blood, my friend. Don't let your minds be faint and weary over temptation tonight. You've not yet resisted unto blood. Our resistance needs to become stronger, and I believe it does when we submit. When we submit ourselves to the Lord. Resistance must be accompanied by Scripture. It must be accompanied by Scripture. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Romans 6:11 and verse 17 says what? And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Word of God. Study Christ in his temptations. He came back with every temptation. It is written. It is written. It is written. In our military, if somebody was getting ready to bomb us with a nuclear bomb, and our president told our military, get out all your handguns. We're going to go to battle. What would you think? Handguns against a nuclear bomb. That's not going to work. Yeah, and in temptation, we're taking the flesh against the nuclear bombs of Satan's temptation and thinking that we're going to win. And we're not. God's given us greater weaponry than that. He's given us the power of His Scripture. And that is how He defeated temptation in His life. And that is how you have to defeat temptation. That's why I encourage you to labor in the Word regarding your areas of temptation. That's why I encourage you to give yourself wholly to it and meditate and memorize it till it becomes a part of your life. Most of the time when I'm meeting with people and we're working through sins, I just pour Scripture at them. Why? Because the Scripture is the power that will change and help them to overcome in their lives. Resistance must be accompanied with supplication. With Scripture, with submission, and with supplication. Watch ye and pray lest ye enter into temptation. The passage on spiritual warfare in Ephesians 6 ends with praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit in verse number 18. If you're going to triumph over temptation, it'll require running, number one. It'll require resistance, number two. And lastly, it'll require replacement. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Christians often fail to change because they try to change solely by breaking a bad habit and not doing it anymore. And so they try to overcome temptation by simply leaving a vacancy in their life and not filling it with what it was filled with. But the principle of replacement is found throughout the Scriptures. In Ephesians 4, it says, put off and then put on. Renew your mind in the midst. And then it says this, put away lying and speak every man truth. That means if you have a temptation of lying, you're to put that off. You're to resist that in submission and with Scripture and with supplication, and you're to put on speaking the truth. In that same passage, it says that person that has trouble with stealing, it says that person is to steal no more. But he's to what? He's to replace that with laboring with his hands. That's how you overcome temptation. You run from it, you resist it, and then you replace it. And you say, I'm going to labor with my hands to be able to give to others. That's the principle of replacement. In Psalms 1, it gives that same principle. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Three different groups there. Ungodly, scornful, and sinners. In verse number 2, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. What he's saying is this. A person used to run with sinners and scorners and sit with the scornful, the ungodly. But he's replaced that. Day and night, he's meditating in the Scriptures. In your life, the way to get over temptation, the way to triumph over temptation, is to begin to replace that which you used to do and give into with that which is right. It's why we have a program like RU on Friday night. Why is it on Friday night, Jerry? That's the time people indulge in their addictions. And RU is not just for addictions. It's a wonderful discipleship program of our church. But we do reach some addicts through it. And we have it on Friday night. Why? To replace the time. They used to be with sinners and scornful and ungodly. Now they're with believers studying the Word of God. That strengthens them against temptation. Where are you granting permission in your life? One night an Arab had settled in for the night and had just fallen asleep. I close with this. When his camel came and asked permission to just stick his legs inside the tent to keep them warm, the Arab granted the camel permission and went back to sleep. A little later, the camel woke him a second time and asked permission to stick his head in. Again, permission was granted. This continued on throughout the night until finally the Arab woke up to find the entire camel inside the tent with him. When he told the camel that there was just not enough room in the tent for the both of them, the camel suggested that the Arab might want to leave. This is exactly what Satan does with temptation. He says, can I have permission in your life to govern that area? Will you give in to me right here? But remember, when Satan asks for an inch, he takes a mile. And so you give in that little area, and you give him a little permission, a little influence in your life. And before long, it's a little bit more. And before long, it's a little bit more. Until really, he's in your life. And there's not room for Jesus and Satan. So Satan finally proposes, why don't you just kick God all the way out of your life? And brethren, it is happening in Christian lives today all over, because they are not dealing with temptation biblically. You can triumph over temptation.